Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Admittedly, even though we guarantee you football every weekday morning at 8 o'clock, it's been mostly a football day anyway. A little Brooks Koepka, little D-backs, but the day, the first show after a Cardinals game, heavy, heavy football. And right now, Matt Bowen is joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He is a former safety with the Redskins. He also played with your Bills for a year, Wolf.
Beautiful.
He joins us right now. We're going to talk a little fantasy. But, Matt, I owe you something. Since you just set the record for the longest ever Doug and Wolf, and this show's been here for 12 years, the longest Doug and Wolf show guest to ever sit on hold. I mean, you were there forever. I owe you a beer, I think. But are you a beer or wine guy? And, yes, I'm judging your character with that question.
I'm a beer guy.
Good. All right. Good.
Yeah,
I feel better.
I'm a Budweiser guy.
So, Matt, how did you like Orchard Park?
30-pack of Budweiser. That'll be fine.
Good. Well done. Well
How'd you like Orchard Park, Matty? Did you like OP? Come on now. That's where I'm from. Born and raised.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I'll take that as a no.
He's holding back. One of the reasons we want to talk to you about a couple different things, especially about the helmet rule when it comes to being a safety. But before we get into that, talk fantasy, and especially local fantasy. Almost everybody's number one pick in the 2017 fantasy draft is David Johnson. Should he be again the number one, number two, number three pick in a fantasy football draft?
No, I think so. Without a doubt. I know we got some carries the other night. And granted, it's preseason, not a ton of reps, but just to see him back on the field, see the dynamic ability he has, that burst to get to the second level. Look, he's going to get a ton of touches. I think everyone agrees with that in the Arizona offense. He can impact both the run and the pass game. I think he's a top three player all day in fantasy. You know, whether Todd Gurley goes one or Bell goes one, it doesn't really matter to me in terms of the top three. And I think those are the top three players in fantasy right now. We've been doing a bunch of mock drafts at ESPN, and Johnson's pretty much in that 3-4 range. I think he's the number three all day. And again, it comes down to the volume. Whenever you're drafting at the running back position in fantasy, you want a number one who's going to give you a ton of volume. And in today's NFL, especially in the passing game, and I love what he can do. And like I said, great to see him back on the field because he is such a dynamic player.
So, Matty, what is the best format? What's the best format for your fantasy league? Do you play in multiple leagues as well that use different formats, or do you prefer one?
I prefer PPR now, which is point per reception, just because of the, really the modern NFL game.
Exactly.
And, standard scoring, I play in some standard scoring leagues, and, and that's in yards and touchdowns. Everyone understands that. But, right now, if you're talking about the running back position and how much is valued in these mock drafts we're doing, it's guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Why Christian McCaffrey has a ton of value. Saquon Barkley. I mean, everyone wants to see Saquon play because, from a fantasy perspective, he's a guy that can get goal line carries, get first and second down carries, and be on the field for third down. And I think it's really what you're looking for at running back position. You want a guy who's on the field for third down. And it's, talking about David Johnson, Kyle Gurley, Le'Veon Bell. Those are the guys that can impact your lineup the most because of the volume they get and the receptions out of the backfield. And that's not just fantasy. That's the regular NFL. That's everyday life in the NFL right now. You want someone with great matchups. Mm. And really someone that can flex in the formation as well. You put a running back in the slot, I'll tell you what, from a defense perspective, you better have a linebacker that can run.
Yep.
A linebacker that can change directions in space. If you don't, that means you got to bring a safety down. Mm-hmm. Now that's hurting you somewhere else. Now that's hurting your other matchups on the field. Because you bring the safety down, now who's covering the tight end? Okay, mm-hmm. So a lot of things start rolling there just because of that dynamic ability that comes to the running back position in today's game.
Doug and Wolf talking to Matt Bowen, fantasy guy with ESPN. You can see him on a lot of their fantasy coverage, but also played the game as well. And I like to talk to him as a safety with the Redskins since, I keep it quiet that I'm a Redskins fan because we're harmless and nobody cares about the way we've struggled ever since Daniel Snyder bought the team. But that's another day, another story. Matt, is there somebody on your fantasy football list that in the real NFL draft that somebody might be ultimately talented, but because of issues – they put him in the box. You know, the GM says, we're not drafting this guy. Even though you don't worry about character issues when it comes to your fantasy draft, is there somebody that's in your box? Is there a couple guys where you think that they're overrated, or you would say, on a Matt Bowen fantasy team, I'm not drafting this guy because it's going to be a letdown?
I think there's a couple players. You know, we're talking about running backs. You know, I've always been a fan of Marshawn Lynch because of how he runs. You know, and being a former defensive back, that's just not someone I would want to tackle for four quarters, I'll just be straight honest. That'd be a long day of work. You know, and I like what Coach Gruden's going to do. I went back to my notes from 2004, 2005 when I was a player against Tampa and compared it to what I saw in the preseason game the other night. It's not much different. It's not. You know, coaches don't change that much. There's going to be a lot of what I call old school pro personnel, quarterback under center, two backs, a tight end, two wide receivers. That's perfect for a running back. But I wonder how many carries he's going to get. That's the only thing, again, it's the volume. You know, is Doug Martin going to get carries out there? How are they going to decide who gets the ball on first and second down on the goal line? Who's playing on third down for Oakland in the passing game at the running back position? That's the one I look at Marshawn. I think he's at the end of that running back two range. And like I said, I love him as a player. I do. But I worry about him in terms of total volume. Another one is Kenyon Drake from Miami. If you look at Drake's film from really the last four or five games of the 2017 season, I mean, he was electric. And that I think it was a Monday night game against New England. He had over 100 yards receiving, getting a ton of carries, change of direction ability in the hole. But then I look at their roster and say, okay, is he going to get the volume? You know, they brought in Frank Gore. They brought in Ballage from Arizona State. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he can get downhill. Look pretty impressive in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, too, running routes against linebackers. And Kenny Drake has never had over 17 carries in a game in his career.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, is he a fourth-quarter guy? Because I want closers, too. That's why I brought up Lynch. Is he going to be the closer? And your fantasy lineup, you want someone who's going to close out games. So if the team has a lead in the fourth quarter, that's an extra 5-7 carries right there, more touches, more volume. And those are the two guys I worry about right now. And, again, their skill sets as players, I love them. But from a fantasy perspective, I'm a little concerned.
On that note right there, Matty, I played 10 years in the NFL, right, and I stink at fantasy football. So I'll ask you this right here. Does your experience, the fact that you played, does it help or hinder your performance in fantasy football?
I think it helps. I do think it helps just because of how I look at the game. I look at it a little differently, probably just like you do. You look at it from a bit more schematical perspective and start to get a feel for guys, when they're getting touches, why they're getting touches, when they're going to show up in the game plan, how a game plan can change so much. I think people need to understand that. Sometimes you go into a football game, you've been practicing all week. After two series, you rip that thing up and throw it in the trash.
Yes.
You start over right there in the sideline. You know, I've heard this before from a coach, and I love this quote. He said, at the high school game, the adjustments are made Saturday morning. At the college game, the adjustments are made at halftime. In the pro game, you make them right there and then, or you lose.
Amen.
So much happens, and you can go into a game saying, well, I got this wide receiver. He's going to get 10 targets. Guess what? He ends up with three because the game plan changed. They start running the football. They start playing to protect the lead in the second half and not throwing the ball as much. So a lot of things can change. I do think it's helped me. But, again, I always go to that quote from my special teams coach, with Danny Smith in Washington, that things change very quickly in the league.
Matt, good talk. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, brother.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. There's Matt Bowen joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to Coulter on Camelback.com, CoulterNissan.com, or CoulterTempe.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, what did we see from the starters in the Cardinals' first preseason game? That went pretty well. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me? David Johnson! Yeah, David! Yeah! Back! Running in space! Ray, Spag, two carries in 28 yards. Welcome back, David. Yeah.
Your Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation Ford Scottsdale, located off of Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101. It was Giants and Browns. First play from scrimmage in the history of Saquon Barkley is a handoff, and Barkley goes 36 yards. Crowd goes crazy.
Nice.
You can understand why they cared. Okay, you can understand. Nice. When that's the first play in the history of this young man's NFL career, irrelevant of the fact that it's preseason and that's what he does, you understand the hype and the excitement around that. So I'm not going to act like David Johnson getting the ball on the opposite coast of football is as big as what Barkley did. But if we keep it within our own confines of the Arizona Cardinals, it's huge for David Johnson to be gone for 12 months from the Arizona Cardinals and to get the ball twice and have holes like that run through them so quickly, get 28 yards and come off the field healthy, mm-hmm. and establish we are now a running football team again. I'm not saying it's as big as Barkley nationally, but it was one of the bigger moments of the preseason to me. Nothing competes with the excitement around Baker Mayfield. There were other, you know, as Marshawn Lynch, even though there was a bad holding penalty, Marshawn Lynch breaks one and goes the distance. There were a lot of plays that you said, I don't care that it's preseason. I like that. and maybe David Johnson isn't even in the top five, but if you're just a Cardinals fan, how did that not make you stand up and say, okay, he's back. Here we go.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, David Johnson, if you take away that first half, the one half of one game that he played in 2017, stop and think about it. When is the last time David Johnson has been in space, in the open field, in the secondary? 18, 19 months ago in a game? Maybe longer than that? I mean, it's been a long time since David Johnson was in space, and I wonder if he was a little rusty. Both those runs right there, I think the David Johnson of 2016 takes one of those at least to the house.
I thought David looked well, you know, the way he was running the ball, downhill, being aggressive, and, you know, we just got to continue to establish that moving forward.
You look good. There's no doubt about it. Man, it's good to have David Johnson back in the fold, and especially behind this offensive line. I'm telling you right now, I really believe the offensive line was the story of this game, at least in the Wolfley compound. And the only reason why I say that is because of how well the offensive line played, the starting offensive line, and how poorly the second unit offensive line played.
The when we watch a preseason game, I'm always looking at, as best as I can, one-on-one battles, because we have zero idea whether either coaching staff, opponent or Cardinals, are really game planning for each other. So there's nothing to be able to tell that way. And then at the same time, there are so many problems or mistakes that can be made. There's no way to evaluate nine of the guys if two of them are doing something completely off script or something like that. But you can judge, did that guy physically beat that guy or not? Yeah, I mean, you can judge that. And when you looked at the starters, you got the feeling that more times than not, that guy who was wearing red whipped the guy that was wearing white. When you look at the starters, you look at the defense getting a three and out, you look at the special teams on the punt return, mm-hmm. and then you look at the offense going down the field and being able to get a touchdown run, you can feel really good about that. So if you're a Cardinals fan, not saying the Chargers are going to the Super Bowl, but without Phillip Rivers too, but your starters beat their starters.
Right, there was a problem.
So at least, as you would say, it beat the alternative.
Yes.
The negative is, and this is where all hands are on deck from a front office standpoint, their second string seemed, for the most part, to whip your second string in just about everything. Minus, of course, anything Cappy did.
Yes, or B'nai Ben-Wickery as well. I would say. Yeah. B'nai Ben-Wickery, star of the game to me right now. You want to talk about a guy that
Cap?
A guy that came out of nowhere, right? I mean, we know who B'nai Ben-Wickery is. We know the fact that he's played for the Carolina Panthers, right? He's played for Steve Wilkes before and Al Holcomb. We know that and understand that. But the fact that he caused two turnovers, and should have had a pick six as well, blew my mind. B'nai Ben-Wickery, with a physical tackle, jarred the ball loose, and guess what? There was Jeremy Cash, who picked it up and scored a touchdown. A defensive touchdown started by B'nai Ben-Wickery, a cornerback. And then all of a sudden, Ben-Wickery made a play on the ball, right? Batted it into the air. It's a pick going the other way. That was because of Benet Benwickery. And then the incredible thing about it was before those two things happened, those turnovers, Benwickery jumped a sit route, right? He jumped it when he was clueing. You could see him, Basinonians, the clue. You'll get a corner that is looking at the quarterback. He's feeling the route peripherally, but he's looking at the quarterback. He's peeking at the quarterback, something that's really, really dangerous from time to time, because when you peek, all of a sudden there goes the receiver. You lose track of him, right? He didn't, and he jumped it, and it was a pick six. The thought that Benet Benwickery, and I don't know why I'm having a hard time saying it.
Just go with one.
Benet Benwickery should have had three takeaways involved in this game. That's the star of the show.
Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We'll be giving away tickets to the D-back series against the Angels next week. Just listen in at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. Kind of interesting. First and second place in the PGA Tour were by two guys in the PGA Championship that actually weren't completely sure they would be playing golf.
The doctors, physios, trainers, everybody did an unbelievable job even to get back out on the golf course. And to do what I've done is very impressive. I can't even believe it.
Says he can't believe he's even playing after they looked at his wrist. That's Brooks Koepka, and yet he's won two majors with this wrist. And then there is Tiger Woods, who says he's learning on the fly how to play golf with a fused spine.
I didn't know how many tournaments I'd play this year or if I'd even play. And so each tournament brought about its own challenges. And I didn't know what the number was going to be this year. I didn't know how I was going to play.
And that's your first and second place.
Yo.
And for the first time that I can ever remember, I don't know about anybody else, I cared about the PGA Championship.
Yes, yes. There's no doubt about it. But can I just say this? A couple of observations. Number one, of course, it's so good that Tiger Woods is back. We all know that, right? The way he impacts the game of golf and the eyeballs that he brings. He is a walking, talking paradox. He's a train wreck, metaphorically speaking, that everyone wants to see. Whether you love it or hate it, you want to see it, right? That's number one. And number two, has there ever been a better state of American golf than what we have right now? I mean, I think that is a legitimate question. I know you could go back to Jack and Arnie, of course, and Tom Watson. And I'm trying to figure out a point in time where listen to this right here. Brooks Koepka is 28 years old. He's got three majors, right? You've got Jordan Spieth. He's 25. He's got three. You got Ricky Fowler. He hasn't gotten one yet. He's close, though. 29 years old. 29, 28, 25. You got Justin Thomas at 25. Dustin Johnson is still only 34.
Thomas blows away that field if he didn't burn so many edges. I mean Thursday through Sunday.
It's unbelievable.
So many putts went right by the hole.
And he's already won one PGA.
And I know Justin that you were throwing out Americans, but then when you throw in Rory and you throw I think the state of golf is better than it's ever been.
Man.
And I realize I'm talking about the Jack and Arnie days, of which I don't know much about, and then the Tiger Phil days later on. But I just, if Tiger is truly back, and then you throw in the young guns on top of it, golf has never been better.
So good.
I think it's going to explode in popularity, have another resurgence if Tiger keeps going. Coming up next, what are the four big takeaways from the Cardinals' first preseason game? We'll tell you what we saw next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf's Four Down Territory. Getting you ready for Cardinals Camp 2018 on New Hope.
Here's how this works. It's really simple. There are three men. There is Paul, there is Wolf, there is me. We watched game one of the preseason for the Arizona Cardinals. Here's our four biggest takeaways.
First down.
I can't get away from it. Other than anything I saw from the Arizona Cardinals, my biggest takeaway in watching this thing for first down is the officiating. I got to know. I think the refs called the rules right, and it shows you how dumb the rule is. Because the rule just says if you duck your head and then you use it, well, what about when you're actually leading with your shoulder and your head hits the ball? Because the ball is on the side of the player. He's not holding the ball with his belly button. He's holding with his arms. And the human body, by God, has arms on the side of the human being, not coming out of your chest. Thank you.
There's a new question in the NFL. It's not what is a catch. It's what is a tackle?
Yes.
What is a tackle? And the players, I can guarantee you, talking to them, are asking themselves the same thing. And after A.J. Howard hitting the tight end, who made a football move and then two or three steps, and now he got flagged, and the way they called it initially, defenseless receiver, and then on the stat sheet it was changed to lowering the head, I guarantee you guys are wondering, what is a tackle?
All right, my first down is the offensive line. The offensive line was the star of this game. Again, now listen, temper it, my friends. The L.A. Chargers, number 31 in rushing yards per game allowed and number 32 in rushing yards per play allowed in 2017. But it sure beats the alternative. The Arizona Cardinals lined up and rammed the ball right down the Chargers' throats. The defense could not hold up, and guess what? Mason Cole was right in the middle of it.
Second down.
Your first down is the starting offense and the offensive line. My second down is the second string offensive line and what I saw, and I thought it was scary. It was to the point where the front office staff needs to make immediate action of trying to bring in some guys off the street. That doesn't mean it's going to help. It doesn't mean it's going to be 10 times better. There's a reason why those guys are on the street. But what I saw, that was not an NFL caliber performance. When I say NFL caliber, I mean worthy of being on a 53-man roster. It's only one game. Don't overreact, but either players got to improve or players have to be removed.
Based on that game, O-line depth is not there. D-line depth is there. Olson Pierre showed very well. Rodney Gunter, we called his name numerous times. Those guys were both disruptive. I like the D-line depth, unlike the O-line depth right now.
My second down is this. The helmet rule is going to be a problem if they're going to call it the way they did on Saturday night. A.J. Howard's hit. This is problematic right here. They call him for hitting a defenseless receiver, and I thought they got that wrong. I could have seen the new helmet rule, but I think, to me, they conflated the defenseless receiver with the new rule and got that confused. The NFL has got to get this figured out, because the last thing you want are for fans not to understand, to your point, Paulie, what a tackle is.
Third down.
The third thing I saw was not during the game. It was in the locker room after the game. I was so impressed with how well Josh Rosen handled the question in which he's asked, did all of the low snaps affect you and not allow you to get into a rhythm?
Not that much. I mean, you just kind of, a lot of stuff happens in football, and I think what makes a good quarterback is a result to kind of just not let little things phase like that. It wasn't really a big deal.
How about that? Of course it affects you. When you take your eyes off coverage as a rookie, guess what? It affects you. And yet, what did he say? Not that much. Good quarterbacks handle those little things. Well done, Josh Rosen.
All right, my third takeaway would be Benet Bueno. Brandon Williams, no bueno. Benet Ben Wickery, yeah. He had the force fumble. He had the PBU, the pass breakup, ends up in the interception. He definitely is trending up.
Dropped a pick six.
Brandon Williams.
Why do you got to throw Paul under the bus like that?
Still on the field at the end of the game. That was telling, and he better show up this week, or there might not be an end of August for that former third-round pick.
Okay, my third down and four-down territory, basing on him's Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen looked okay. His outing wasn't as impressive, maybe, from a statistical standpoint, as Baker Mayfield's or Sam Darnold's, but he was dealing with a snap issue that really took his eyes off coverage, and a lot of the time was playing behind a very porous offensive line. Josh Rosen is a work in progress, and he's going to continue to get better, but he's going to need a lot of help, and he didn't get help from his offensive line, and he didn't get help from his receivers either.
Fourth down.
My fourth takeaway from watching Cardinals preseason game number one was my own miserable failings for not using my notes properly. Because last week, I was sitting in the press box, because it's hard to do the scooter on the grass. I'm sitting in the press box watching practice, and I say, who is 42? Wow, A.J. Howard. I like this guy. I've got to watch him more often. And I never said it on air last week. And then he shines like crazy on Saturday. A.J. Howard starting to whoop the two of you in your pronouncement of who's the breakout player at camp.
All right. First off, Doug needs some all-weather tires, some grip on that scooter.
You're exactly right.
Number two, I'm going to go with a play that wasn't made as my number one takeaway, and that is Christian Kirk and what could have been, what should have been, and what we've all been waiting for ever since Patrick Peterson's rookie year, a real threat in the punt return game. We all had to watch Ted Ginn sprint for the sidelines and try and get out of bounds as fast as he possibly could. Now we got a guy who's going to get upfield, TJ Logan, the kickoff return. We know he's fearless. I'm looking forward for the first time in a long time to the return game.
Okay, my fourth down in four down territory, Steve Wilks. The Steve Wilks era is here, and it's going to be a physical brand of football. Rejoice, my brothers, rejoice.
Hit the clothes, Bear. What? Hit the clothes, Bear. How do we not have
a That's
his clothes.
Oh.
You know, if this was Missouri, Colorado from before a lot of you were born, there would be a fifth down. And in listening to what Paul said right there, I gotta say, my fifth down would have to be... it's all right. I'll be late if I get into my fifth down.
No.
So I step back.
There's no time for you to get off on a rant? Is that what you're saying?
It wouldn't be... it would be real quick. I will do it real quick. And that is, how much was Todd Graham looking at Christian Kirk wipe out on that punt return and saying, why didn't that happen in week one when we played Texas A&M?
No.
That was the first time I'd ever seen Christian Kirk live, and man, he goes flying right by me for that punt return. Maybe that would have changed the game if he would have wiped out at seeing the punter for ASU at Texas A&M.
And by the way, you guys forgot to mention Cap Cappy at all. I mean, come on now. The three sacks, I mean, the way he showed. Does Cap Cappy make this team or
he
not?
He didn't make your
come September 1st, is he on this team or not, Cap Cappy?
I was going with much bigger picture stuff, Paul.
I still don't know. Cap Cappy, do it and get do it.
No offense to Cap.
Keep doing it. Yeah. Cap, keep doing it.
Wolf's offended by the question.
Coming up next, they avoided the sweep. Truth. I guess that's good.
Can't be bothered with that stuff.
But it was against the Reds. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Paul Goldschmidt talking to Jody Jackson on Fox Sports Arizona after the game.
Yeah, it's a good win. I mean, they all matter, and we're just trying to get as many of them as we can. Scouse was able to put us on the board early, and Golly did a great job, and we were able to get a few more there at the end.
Something you would expect from Paul Goldschmidt.
No doubt about it. Paulie, of course. Paul Goldschmidt. Don't call him Paulie. Call him Goldie. Goldie, Goldie, Goldie. No doubt about it. This guy was the hardest working player of the series.
Doug and Wolf Show. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The hardest working player of the series for the Arizona Diamondbacks, Paul Goldschmidt. Goldie, Goldie, Goldie. 6 of 13 for the series with 3 RBIs, and he hit 2 home runs yesterday. Paul Goldschmidt, the hardest working player of the series.
For me, when a team is 52-66, they were actually going into that series 50-65, 15 games under 500. When you don't take 2 out of 3 and or sweep, none of you worked hard enough. Therefore, there is no hardest working player of the series. Needless to say, I'm the hardest working player, even though you tried to shock me.
Where is the...
I won again on that
one. Think about that. 6 of 13 for the series. Goldie, 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 right? Starting to come around once again. I love what he did yesterday, of course. 2 home runs, had 3 hits, had a double as well. I mean, this guy, again, Goldie has got to lead. He has to.
Especially started 0-2. Bad pop-up, bad strikeout.
I know.
Still had 2 homers and a double.
Yes, Bear. Yes.
Don't be such a downer, Doug. The D-backs are in first place.
You know, I get those tweets from people. I'm not a downer. I'm real. I'm real. When you go to a team that's 15 games below 500 and play mentally checked out baseball, I'm not going to come in Monday morning and happy about it. The Diamondbacks won yesterday. Yay. You know, if you lose and you gave everything you had, you put it out there, you play as hard as you could, and the other team was just better, I've come in here and said, hey, Jake Arrieta was awesome today. Nice job, other team. You know, and I'm deal with it. You know, accept it. But when the Reds are trash and you decide to out-trash them, there's nothing you're going to get me to say that's positive. It was atrocious baseball this weekend.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember when they lost that series, Colorado. They lost a Colorado series,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah. Recently, the one about
Chicago,
3 weeks ago.
Right?
Yes, yeah,
and then they went on to Chicago, right? And they salvaged a road trip there. And, you know, to me, once again, if they can get somehow, some way, get 6 wins out of this road trip, it's going to be a big deal. They got what? 2 in Texas?
Uh-huh. 4
and they got
in San
4
Diego.
In uh-huh. San Diego, right? So, San Diego! Let's just see if what we saw yesterday can carry over. Because according to Doug Lease, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday night, there was a players-only meeting after blowing a game late. They had a 3-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth with Archie Bradley on the hill. Now, how many people here thought they were going to lose that game? I did not. And you didn't either. That's how close they were to winning the series. And everyone going, oh, you know what? Okay, great. They're on the road. That's a great way to start the road trip, winning a series, no matter who you're playing. So the fact that they actually had a players-only meeting after that, I think is significant.
It is huge because somebody decided, or multiple people decided, things aren't going the way they're supposed to. And you think about how horrific May was, and I hadn't heard about players-only meetings in May. And everybody wanted to talk about just how happy they were in the sense that everybody's sticking together, that there's no issues, you know, and that they all talk positively, and yet now, because of this, and I'm wondering why. Is it because it's the Reds?
Yeah.
Is it because they've had about 2 weeks now of really dumb plays?
2 weeks.
Where you just look at them and you say, why are you throwing to that base? Why are you even throwing that ball? You're a pitcher. You're not a good defender anyway. Why do you think you can get out Billy Hamilton when you're not in a position to throw?
Torrey says, we don't play that way around here.
Exactly. And then there's been a lot of not backing up pitchers that are just kind of wandering around, not backing up the right base. Outfielders that are slow to back up. And then there was one play that was really interesting Saturday night in which the ball was hit to left center field. There's a runner on second. Now, if you're a casual baseball fan, you might not know, but if you think about it geometrically, it makes sense. The center fielder can run to a ball in left center field, catch it while they're running, throw it to third.
Yeah.
No matter whose arm is in left field, you're always going to have a better arm than a guy coming away from third base, which what a left fielder would be doing, basically running towards first the way he comes in, and then having, as a lefty, throw across his body.
Mm-hmm.
Yet David Peralta screamed calling off A.J. Pollock. A.J. Pollock is calling him off. And listen, when you get into hardcore baseball, I'm talking about like junior high, when you start taking it somewhat seriously, you go through drills in which you learn when the center fielder talks, everybody shut up and get out of the way. This is not an advanced thing. Everybody knows when the center fielder talks, get out of the way. Yet David Peralta thought, no, I'm going to break every rule I've been taught about baseball since the beginning and cut in front of my center fielder because I'm going to take this ball. You have to ask the question why. Even no matter, this is not a slam on David Peralta, no matter how much you might love David, and I think everybody does because he's an energy player.
Absolutely love and respect the guy.
There's something going on in the head of every left fielder when that happens. And I'm wondering what was the meeting about because was it Reds related? Was it Peralta related? Was it bad baseball in general related?
Yeah.
Somebody thought we're not getting enough done here, and they had to meet about it.
You know what I want you to do, Bear? I want you to go ahead and track this from this day forward, okay? You had the meeting Saturday night. Oh, the players-only meeting. I mean,
so August 12th forward, Sunday
August
forward.
12th, okay. Start tracking this just the way that we tracked the L.A. Dodgers and Joe Boo. When Dave Roberts waved Joe Boo around the clubhouse and said, tonight is the night It ends.
It turns.
Turns. Why can't I remember that? Why can I not remember he said turns?
You've got it like ends. 10 in a row.
Why didn't he say ends? That's the better question. What is your problem? What? Exactly. Why wouldn't you, Dave Roberts, say tonight is the night it ends? Turns. What is that? Okay, it turns. It took a different direction, but it was just, it was a, you get my point. Why not say tonight is the night it ends, Dave?
And yet the L.A. Dodgers yesterday in their, they won game one of a four-game series against the Rockies. Then they lost Friday and Saturday. They had the lead last night.
The 3-1. Low ball four. Ball game. Chris Iannetta draws a bases-loaded walk.
That's thanks to KOA. So now the Rockies are only a game and a half behind the Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers are a game behind the Diamondbacks.
Okay, and also, Bear, here's another project for you right here. What are the Dodgers since Manny Machado? What are the Dodgers?
Since the demoralization
of the Diamondbacks and the rest of the NL West. Can you imagine how demoralized they all are?
You're really on Ross Stripling, aren't you?
That really bothered me as a former professional athlete, Basinonians. Ross Stripling saying that really bothered me. It's such a front-runner thing to say. Yeah, that's right. Our organization, we got a lot of resources. Went on and got Manny Machado. Like, we needed Manny Machado.
Well, they got Machado at the All-Star break. So you need to know what's the Dodgers' record in the second half of the season. Is the big stat.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going to guess.
I just wondered how many games he actually played in.
I'm going to guess.
What the record is with him in.
I'm sure he had a day off every now and then, but as a team, I'm going to guess that they're still right around 500 with him. It's been pretty up and down.
I'm pretty sure you're right.
I mean, that's Ross Stripling, obviously.
How demoralizing that's got to be, Ross.
Must have missed that. Are you actually adding it up right now, Bear? What he did in the since the All-Star break?
I'm counting, yes.
Oh, good job. Thank you.
Way to get on it, Bear.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I could tell you that they got 13 wins, so I did that fast enough.
Okay, there you go.
It'd take me a while to do the losses because it looks like they've got a lot more. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13 and 12 off the top of my head.
How about that right there? Almost 500 with Manny Machado. Can you feel that, Ross?
Coming up next, what did we see from Josh Rosen on Saturday? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.